You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, April 24th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell begins the series, Mind, Body, and Soul, The Life of David. The message focuses on 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and is entitled, When Mama Prayed.
I'll now turn to Scripture, looking at the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. If you would like to follow along in your red pew Bibles, it's on page 240 in the Old Testament. And they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah also prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides thee. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken. The feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. But those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down the Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, against them he will thunder in the heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and exalt the power of his anointed. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, we're beginning a new series of messages that's going to take us throughout the summer months. This series I've entitled Mind, Body, and Soul, the Earthy and Everyday Faith of David. David, I think, is one of the most compelling and one of the most relatable characters in all of Scripture. And we're going to look at the ups and the downs of David's lives. We're going to look at the good decisions and the bad decisions. We're going to look at the ways in which David walked closely with God and lived into that identity as a man after God's own heart, and those other times when he made decisions that drew him away from God. And we all can relate to this. These are things that we all understand, intimacy and distance, closeness with God and feeling dry in our spirituality. David gives us such great wisdom and so many great examples of what this looks like in our lives. And so we're going to start this morning, and we're not going to look at David. We're not even going to look at Samuel, the one who anointed David, but we're going to take a step back even a little bit further and look at a woman by the name of Hannah. Last week I began with this question. Does anyone here have a past? And the answer, of course, is yes, we all do. Everyone has a past. Everyone's got a list of experiences that have led them through their lives. And what binds us together in this life is the fact that we all have these sort of varying and even checkered or sorted pasts. We all have parts of our lives that don't fit together quite as neatly or conveniently as we would hope. And this is true of all of us. It's not, if you have a past, you're not different or weird, you're normal, because we all have a past. Eugene Peterson, one of my heroes, writes this: life isn't an accumulation of abstractions, such as love, truth, sin, salvation, atonement, and holiness. Life is the realization of details that all connect organically, personally, and specifically. God reveals himself to us not in a metaphysical formulation or a cosmic firework display, but in the stories that we tell our children, the stories that we tell our friends, who we are and what it means to be human, what it means to be us. And all the humans that are depicted in the Old Testament, of all the people that are talked about, there is perhaps no one humaner than David. His experiences, his gifts, his deep flaws, his devotion, what make him so relatable to us? So each week as we look at these stories of a really earthy and everyday hero in our faith, we're going to see stories, his stories, entwined in our stories. We're going to see our lives connecting to his. And my prayer for us as a congregation is that David would be the lens through which we all can gain strength and encouragement and wisdom for our walk with God. But like any great man or woman, David is not an island. His story begins before he's anointed as the king. David's story begins with a people who struggle to know what it means to belong to God, to follow God, to live in faithfulness to God. His story begins in a time when all they wanted to do was to be like their neighbors, to be like everybody else and have a king rule over them. His story begins, like many others, with a hope that seemed like a long shot of a woman who wanted nothing more than just to be a mom. And so with that, let's join our hearts in a word of prayer as we get into this morning's message. Heavenly Father, as we begin this series together, looking at the life of David, I pray that each person here would be able to place themselves in his story, and in doing so, experience the ceaseless love and mercy of God, the one who never lets us go and simply wants us to rest in the shelter of his wing. So Lord, this morning be our teacher, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The book of 1 Samuel opens with this unforgettable story. There's a man from the hill country of Ephraim named Elkanah. And Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah was the mother of many children, while Hannah had none. Polygamy in this day was common, especially in the case of someone who was unable to bear children. Since women had very little power in this culture, they would bind themselves to a husband in order to care for them in the hopes that there would be a male son to follow. Now, the Bible says that Peninnah taunted Hannah. In chapter 1, it says that Peninnah taunted Hannah for her inability to conceive. And for those of us, for those in our lives who have struggled with childlessness, we know how cutting words can be. Careless actions. But Hannah is a beacon of strength. The Bible says that Elkanah loved Hannah with a special kind of love. And year after year, when the family would make their sojourn, make their journey to the temple to offer sacrifices and worship to God, Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion of offering. Hannah prayed and worshiped, prayed and worshiped, prayed and worshiped, pleading with God for a son. There's few in this world who understand the real power of prayer better than a woman who prays for her family. This country music singer by the name of Randy Travis, who has a song called When Mama Prayed. It's about a wayward son who comes home after hearing about his mother praying. As he listened, he realized that his days of carousing, of carrying on, of partying were over because Mama prayed. Women, when you pray, God pays special attention. Now, poor Elkanah. He doesn't know how to comfort his wife in this difficult time. In fact, he gives the very feeble effort in saying, "Honey, there, there. Don't be so sad. At least you've got me, right? Aren't I better than 10 sons?" See, just men, sometimes our efforts are just so feeble. But then in the midst of Hannah's grief, where she could have chosen resentment, where Hannah could have chosen to disbelieve or could have chosen to walk away, Hannah does this most remarkable thing. In faith, Hannah promises her firstborn back to God, to live a life of service and dedication in the temple as a bold and fearless act of worship. "I will worship you, God, in my childlessness as much as I will worship you in my bearing of children." The integrity and the virtue of Hannah comes through when she says in her most difficult moment, "If you will give your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite. I will give him back to you. He will be your servant and will serve you all the days of his life." Now, while she's silently praying in the temple, Hannah is confronted by the priest, by Eli, who actually kind of thinks, in this moment, he thinks Hannah's drunk because she's sort of looking down and silently saying, talking to herself. And so in this moment, Hannah tells Eli everything. Seeing her persistence in faith, he recognizes that God is going to reward Hannah for her commitment. And he's going to give Hannah a son. And soon enough, the miraculous happens. She conceives and bears a son, and his name is Samuel. Because as it says, "For this child I prayed, and Yahweh listened." This mom prayed, and God listened. Women, you know better than any the fact that courage comes from facing our fears head on. Courage and fear often go hand in hand. Anxiety and excitement are actually two sides of the very same coin. Anxiety is just the negative of excitement, the positive. God's people are time and again led into new horizons by being asked by God simply to go and then have God supply the courage. We have a saying in our house, when we're facing something that requires courage or trust, we have a saying, "Do it afraid. Do it afraid." Even if you don't know what the outcome is, do it afraid. We admire Hannah for the way that her fear and her sadness leads her to courage. Hannah doubles down on faith. There's an author from the 19th century by the name of George MacDonald, and he wrote a wonderful little story called The Princess and the Goblin. And in this story, the princess, whose name is Irene, lives not with her father in the castle, but in a large house that sits on a mountainside. And beneath the house live a race of scary goblins. And in the top floor of the house lives Princess Irene's great-great-grandmother, whom only she can see and no others. Now, great-grandmother begins to teach Irene about courage and about fear. "I don't think you are ever afraid," Irene says to her grandmother one day. Grandmother says, "Not for long, at least, my child. Perhaps by the time I am 2,000 years of age, I shall never be afraid of anything." But the difference that Irene sees in her grandmother is that while she has moments of fear for others, she no longer fears for herself. Did any of you have a mom like that, who worried about you? She didn't care one bit about herself, but she cared for you. This is a precious precious gift. One day, Irene has to do something courageous. She has to go and rescue her friend, Curdy, who has been captured by the goblins and who now lives in the mountain. And before she sets out to find him, she remembers the instructions that were given to her by her grandmother. If you're ever in danger, take off your ring, put it under your pillow, and with that same hand, feel for the gossamer thread to follow wherever it leads. What Irene didn't expect was that following the thread would lead her straight into the mountain, along a dark and narrow path toward the goblins where her friend was being held. Down the passage she walked, and darker became the way. But she remembered what her grandmother told her. Never doubt the thread. Never doubt the thread. Irene overcame her fear with courage by remembering and trusting what her grandmother had told her. The fear of not being able to conceive a child was discouraging to Hannah, but it was a fear of God. But it was her fear of God, not a hopeless or a disparaging fear, but a holy reverence for God, who was able to change her. When Hannah approached God as the only one who could change her situation, she learned that above all else, God loved Hannah. And it was her reverence, her awe, her love for God that gave way to her trust. 1 John 4:18 puts it perfectly when it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." The courage of Hannah is the willingness to put on a brave face and to do it afraid. Follow that thread of faith, even when the way is dark. But as it so often happens, when we trust God with everything that we've got, when we double down on faith, God returns with everything he's got. And blessings come down upon us from places that we never expected. Even though Hannah gave her most precious, the thing that she had wanted her whole life, even though she gave this one thing that she hoped for back to God, blessings came down. God wasn't through with Hannah yet. Jason and Cassie are some friends of ours, and they have a 6-year-old son by the name of Avram. Avram was born with swelling on his brain, and he would have regular seizures that required him at a very early age, just a few days old, to have a shunt put into his head to drain the fluid that was around his brain. And for the first 2 years of Avram's life, he spent more time in the hospital than he did at home with his family. To both of his parents, Cassie and Jason, Avram's life was of very special significance, but a life that was also fragile, and it needed extra special care. When Avram began school, attending a special program in Fort Wayne designed to work specifically with students of special needs, he had a chance to ride the bus for the very first time. And this was a really difficult day, as any first day of school for a parent who puts their child on a bus and sends them off to the world. But it was especially difficult for Cassie. For the first time, Mama wasn't sitting right next to her son. And one time I asked Cassie what God was teaching her through this experience that she had had with her son, Avram. And this is what she said. "God showed me something special early on in his life. He said that he helped me through a lot of the tough situations. Having to hand Avram over at 4 days old to be kept in the NICU while I went home. Handing him over for brain surgery at 10 days old. Having people come into our home every week to work with him. And now sending him off to school I felt a lot like Moses' mom or Samuel's mom. As much as I want to take care of and protect and raise Abram on my own, I don't have everything I need to do it. I have to send him down the river. I have to send him off, trusting that God will guide the currents, that he will put the right people on the banks of the river, that he will put the right people in his path to encourage and to support and to raise Abram. If I would just keep him here with me all the time and never let anyone else in, he may always be safe, but he would never be all that he could be. It's definitely hard to send him to school with school shootings and other things happening, but I have to choose courage. I have to choose faith over fear. I have to believe that my God is the one who goes before Abram, the one who knew Abram before I did, the one who knit him together in my womb, and the one who prepares a way. I feel like I've fought the Lord literally on every decision that we've made that called for me to let go. Therapy, leg braces, preschool, the bus. And every time, as I've just relented to trust that the Lord is guiding the currents, it has been nothing but blessing and growth in Abram's life. She says, I still tear up every time he walks into school without turning back to look at me. But in letting go of her son Samuel, or Moses' mother's son, their moms had courage and faith returned to them. Moms, I know this is sounds kind of like a Mother's Day sermon, but it's not. But moms, you, above all others, remind us that sending a child off to the temple or down the stream or off on a school bus takes great courage. But there's none who knows the joy more of welcoming that child back, seeing her or him flourish in their life than you do. The story of Hannah is one that reminds us that God holds the power over our situations. God writes the story of our lives, but it's Hannah who gets to experience the joy of seeing her son flourish. Now, the wonderful, the brilliant God-breathed irony of this story is that in giving the most precious thing she had to God came the reward of 5 more children. This reminds me of another parent who had a child, a hoped for, sought for, precious child. And he, like Hannah, offered that child so that in return the whole world of children might come to know the gift of everlasting life. Like I said, it's not Mother's Day this morning, but it kind of feels like it. Women, we remember you. Your faith, all the sacrifices that you have made, all the trips to the grocery store, the meals that you provided, the taxi service to school or practice, the piano lessons, the PTA meetings, the baby showers, the sleepless nights, stayed in prayer for those that you love. God works through you. You know that picture of that famous picture of Atlas, you know, holding up the world? I think they got that one wrong. Because verse 8 today makes it really clear that moms, you are the one that God calls to be the pillars of the earth. And on you, God has set the world. So for the many ways that you hold up our lives, for the many ways that you encourage us, for the many ways that you have sacrificed for us, I want you to know. And I think what this story is teaching us is that our lives matter, that our stories are shaped and guided, that even the story of Jesus himself being given to the world was an act of bold, generous faith because a parent, because a mom had the courage to trust God. Let's pray. Loving God, Savior, thank you for the women in our lives. Thank you for this story of Hannah and the bold, courageous faith that she offered. Lord, with our families and our children, as we face those difficult uncertainties of what will happen next or what will come as we send our children off to school or to college or to the world of the workforce, Lord, we pray that you would give us that bold, courageous faith to trust that you are going before us, that you know their lives, that you know their outcomes even before we do, and that you also remind us that your blessing comes down as faith rises up. Lord, teach us that faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.